It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Elder Nachiunda, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to help us focus today.
Good afternoon, Elder, and everybody else.
Thank you very much, Imdala. Identifying common challenges and obstacles that hinder individuals from being doers of the word involves what, I think, recognizing various factors that can impede the transition of belief into action. So these hurdles may include fear, complacency, self-interest, and societal pressures, among others. And that's why we've invited Mfundisi Umdala Unachiunde to help us understand what is going on here. Elder, let's begin first. What are some of the common challenges or obstacles you've observed that hinder individuals from actively living out their faith?
Thank you so much. From what we need to understand is the obstacles actually that are observable are rooted in the love for the world. And this does not mean in the context in it's given, looking at believers or the created world. Instead, it's looking at anything that alienates us from God or anything that takes its place. And then the love for the world, actually, as we look at the 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 16, the Bible there says the love for the world, neither the things that are in the world. We admonish that we shouldn't love the world, neither are the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. So that has been given in a paraphrased way.
Yeah.
So many things are actually coming out rightly. That is the love of the flesh, which simply looks at issues of self-indulgence. That makes people actually fail to observe or live their faith. And also the lust of the eyes, which actually looks at covetousness or greediness. And also the pride of life, something which is rooted in selfish ambitions. So basically, when this is looked at in a way, a few examples will actually look at issues to do with the economic pressures.
All right, we appear to have lost the elder there. Elder, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, continue, Mdal.
Okay. So then such also makes people fail to live up to their faith professions. Then increase the knowledge. When people gain some kind of knowledge, it also becomes a barrier for them because at times they tend to think to be more superior than the word of God itself. When people take the different views in church doctrine and other issues, the positions which they hold at times will actually make them lose sight of God himself. Mm. And I think these are just a few examples of the obstacles that actually can make people fail to live up to their standards.
Let's single out fear, Mdala. How does fear manifest as a barrier to being a doer of the word? And what strategies can individuals use to overcome fear?
Okay, thank you so much. So in a way, fear itself is actually a barrier, as area put by the moderator. In a way that church members at times they fail to live up to their calling. For instance, the practical example where a young woman will succumb to sleep with a woman before marriage for fear of losing him. It implies that even when this person is actually aware of the biblical teaching with regard to purity before marriage, that fear will drive her to actually succumb to such pressure. And also other instances are when church members also succumb to societal and cultural norms such as sexual cleansing. this will also push people to actually do the same.
Yeah.
Then the strategies that individuals may use to actually overcome fear as follows. Number one is living a life of studying the Bible and studying the Word of God and being prayerful. We can actually overcome fear and the devices of Satan that he may bring on board when we remain steadfast in the Word of God and in a prayerful mood. Then we can also overcome fear by abiding in Christ himself.
Yeah.
For without Christ, we can literally do nothing. And anything that may come our way, we shall gain strength. And without fear, we can stand every storm that we may be exposed to.
Okay. Let's then single out complacency, for example. Can you discuss the role of complacency in preventing people from engaging in acts of service or justice? And how can individuals cultivate a mindset of continues, or beg your pardon, I think we have... Can you hear me, Mdala?
Yes,
okay.
I can.
Beg your pardon there. We appear to have some interruptions on our line today. So I was asking, in what ways does, or can you discuss the role of complacency in preventing people from engaging in acts of service or justice? And how can individuals cultivate a mindset of continuous growth and action?
Thank you. So in a way, we need to understand what complacency is first for our listeners to actually follow nicely.
Right.
So complacency is a state of self-satisfaction with one's abilities that he actually prevents him or her from trying harder or seeing his or her failures and deficiencies. A state where an individual will actually be complete in Christ without realizing the need that he or she should die daily in Christ. So now, what really brings about these issues that are to do with the perceived spiritual success? When an individual sees him or herself to be actually in good and regular standing, they may not see the need to be submissive and subjective to God's will. An example is something that is given when we look at the account in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 10 to 14. God is actually saying when the Israelites would have actually enjoyed all the benefits that God has given them, after they have eaten and actually are full, they shouldn't forget. And this is what we are expected to do as Christians. Then when there is lack of spiritual discipline and compromised faith, Christians who also live without a life of being prayerful, studying the Word of God, and even fellowshipping with others. So that will actually tend to make them cold and lose sight and focus of God. Worldly distractions also takes the center stage, in which the cares and pleasures of this world will make people be complacent and lose sight of God himself. So then how do we... what are the dangers of complacency? The dangers actually are to do with the spiritual declension, where people actually become spiritually weak and actually even their relationship with the Lord is actually compromised. That's why Hosea says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." That is self-sufficiency will make people fail to see their inadequacies and the need of a savior. And then ultimately they also lose blessings from above, and then judgment may be the ultimate penalty for such.
So what about self-interest? Because we already touched on complacency and fear. So let's talk self-interest, Mdala. In what ways does self-interest impede individuals from prioritizing the needs of others over their own? And what steps can be taken to overcome this obstacle?
Okay, in the aspect of self-interest, many people actually tend to take personal interests above others, where they do not regard others in terms of how they feel about their actions and decisions that they make. So when that takes center stage in an individual, they will not see the need of actually regarding others as God's creation equally, regardless of their social status. So the steps that we really need to actually take to overcome such obstacles are, number one, we do not need to actually do things from a selfish perspective. Instead, we must actually move away from selfishness and empty conceits by being humble and regard others to be more important than ourselves, the way the Bible actually gives. Especially when we learn from the leaf on what Christ himself did, where he did not esteem himself, but he took a form of a servant and even died on the cross just to salvage us. Then we must also care for the interest of others and share their concerns so that we create unity and bonds of friendship. So basically, by doing that, we are told in Romans chapter 12, verse 10 to 16, that we must be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, where we prefer others more than ourselves, so that we be given to hospitality and then do things that are needed to be done by those who call themselves Christians.
So how do societal pressures then, and I suppose that would be the final hurdle, this issue of societal pressures such as cultural norms or materialistic values influence individuals' willingness to live out their faith authentically? And what strategies would you suggest here that can be employed to resist these pressures?
Okay, thank you so much. When we look at some societal pressures, we have, I think you had mentioned one issue already, where some church members may be subjected to certain societal rights like sexual cleansing. These are some of the pressures that they may undergo. And then also, there are instances when members are actually forced to take certain decisions away from biblical teachings. For instance, there are instances when a man is actually pressured by the family to take a second wife because his wife is actually unable to conceive. So, how such pressures can be handled is by, first of all, understanding that as Christians, we have a call that we need to live by. And then we need to allow God to be God so that we remain in the promises that he has given. Whether they come sooner or later, we must actually exercise patience and wait on the promises of God. Then number two, we need to be prayerful in all that we do so that we are given spiritual enlightenment and the spiritual insight for us to make a distinction between what is right and wrong, and then strive to do that which is right according to biblical teachings. And then we also need to take also spiritual guidance from some of our members who are standing morally upright, so that we are helped in that way where our own faith actually fails. So ultimately, the major issue to withstand the pressure is to remain in the word of Christ, because that's where our safety is. Scripture is our only safeguard.
And so this is my final question, Mdan, and after that we'll conclude our conversation. So what role does courage now? What role does courage play in overcoming fears and stepping out in obedience to one's beliefs? And how can individuals cultivate courage in their faith journey?
Okay. Courage is actually a contrast of anxiety and worry. And when we cultivate a spirit of being courageous, we can stand every storm that comes our way, because Second Timothy 1 verse 7 actually says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it is only when we have courage that is not self-propelled, but that is actually emanating from Christ himself, we will be able to stand in the faith journey and be able to do whatever comes our way with Christ who constrains us. And then equally, Isaiah also mentioned that we should not fear because the Lord is with us and is able to strengthen us because he is ready to uphold us. So the role that courage plays in overcoming fear and in actually bringing all this that we may undergo through, the ultimate comfort is that the plans of God that he has for us is not to harm us, but to give us a very perfect end. So whatever situation we may undergo, courageously, we are sure that whatever we request in him, we'll be able to do that by his help.
All right, I hear you, Mfundis. Thank you very much. Appreciate him, Dala. Elder Nachinda, thank you very much for your time. We are continuing our conversations on trying to understand the various permutations and perspectives of being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Elder Nachinda, thank you very much for your time. Have a blessed day further.
Thank you, Elder. Good day too.